Welcome to the program Old Testament Prophets with Father Mitch Pacwa. Father Pacwa.
Shalom, shalom. The peace of God be with you all. My name is Father Mitch Pacwa, and I'm a Jesuit. I'm professor of Old Testament at Loyola University in Chicago. And in this series on the prophets, we've come into the 7th century, a very difficult period of history, and the prophets who are writing at this time are going to be prophesying during the same period back and forth, so that sometimes we'll talk about Jeremiah, then we'll skip over to Nahum and Habakkuk, back to Jeremiah, then to Ezekiel and Jeremiah back and forth, because they are prophesying all in the same period. And I'm going to try and present the prophecies as they come in history. Okay? Now, we're going to take a look at first is the book of Jeremiah. So open up your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1, where we see the call of Jeremiah. Now, it starts off in this title, the words of Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah. Now, the name Jeremiah means the one that the Lord throws out there, okay? That's what he's done. The Lord has thrown him out there, and this kid's not going to like that. Jeremiah's got lots of problems, and one of his biggest problems is his employer, namely God. Well, who does he come from? That's what this first couple verses tells us about. Where he's from, and what he does, and when he does it. Jeremiah, the one thrown out by God, comes from a family of priests that were an Anatot in the land of Benjamin. Now, long time ago, last year sometime, we actually talked a little bit about this. Something that prepared the way for it. He comes from a family of priests, Kohanim, okay? Because priesthood in Israel was a family tradition. And they lived in Anatot. Now, that tells us a lot right there. Because, as we studied a long time ago, last year sometime, that King Solomon had a little bit of trouble becoming the king. His older brother was going to become the king, but David favored Solomon. And David had some help from prophets and priests, especially the priest Zadok. Okay? But there was another high priest in Jerusalem, and his name was Abiathar. And Abiathar favored the brother of Solomon, the older brother of Solomon. Now, Abiathar was an old friend of David. He'd been following around David for many, many years. Well, just about 40 years or so that he followed David. So he was an old man already, supporting David's older son. And because Abiathar the priest supported the older brother of Solomon, Solomon kicked Abiathar out of Jerusalem. He exiled Abiathar to the city of Anathoth, the same place that Jeremiah comes from a family of priests. So it seems very, very likely that Jeremiah is a descendant of Abiathar. And again, just to roll back the tapes a little bit and get our memory working away, remember that Abiathar originally descended from the high priest Eli, who was high priest at Shiloh. All right? So that he was the grandson of Eli, the high priest, who was the high priest in the time of the prophet Samuel. So we see how some of these families sort of stick around and continue to be very influential, even much later in history. And that's what we have going on here. Now, all of a sudden, this family of Abiathar's descendants now produces a new prophet, not just a priest anymore, but a prophet. And his name is Jeremiah. Anathoth, it says, is in the land of Benjamin. As a matter of fact, it's just on the border of Benjamin and Judah. It's about 1.5-2 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And you can still go to the place. It's called Anathah today. You know, it's a little Arab town. And it is just on the north side of the border in Benjamin. So the dialect is a little bit different from Judean dialect. It has a little more Yankee, that is a little more northern, North Israelite tone to it. It's not completely North Israelite, but it's more North Israelite than it is Judean. And not only is Jeremiah's speech somewhat northern, but his ideas are very much related to Hosea, who's a northern prophet. And Jeremiah very much follows the tradition of Hosea, this northern prophet, even though Jeremiah is prophesying inside Jerusalem. Okay? So let's take a look and see what else we can learn about this boy. And it is Jeremiah to whom the word of Yahweh came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. Remember our friend Josiah. Josiah became the king of Judah after his daddy, Amon, was assassinated. Now, Amon was assassinated in the year 640. Josiah became the king in the same year, 640, when Josiah was just 8 years old. So he's just a boy king. And, as a matter of fact, as we'll see, he and Jeremiah are just about the same age. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah might even be a little bit younger than Josiah, but not much. Just a couple years younger, if he is younger. And it says here that he was prophesying, and this is the word that came to him, in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon. That is, if it's the 13th year, it must be that Jeremiah begins to prophesy in the year 627 B.C. Now, lots of stuff was happening in the year of 627 B.C. King Ashurbanipal of Assyria died that year. After a very long 40-year reign of terror and destruction and warfare. And in that same year, a new king arises in Assyria, but he's not as strong as his father, Ashurbanipal, and the kingdom of Assyria becomes very shaky. Okay? Because the kingdom of Assyria is shaky, this is a good time for young Josiah, who is now just 21 years old. His 13th year makes him now 21 years old. 13th year as king. And as a 21-year-old man who's coming into his own, sort of feeling full of himself, like a lot of 21-year-olds do, he's trying to revolt against the Assyrians, and that means getting rid of all Assyrian religion and all Assyrian influence politically and religiously and culturally. And he's in favor of it. And it's at this point in Judah's history that Jeremiah begins to receive the word of the Lord. We're taking a look at the beginning of the prophetic career of the great prophet Jeremiah. And we're going to start off in chapter 1, verse 4, which begins with the call of Jeremiah as a prophet. And it says, "And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I consecrated you. I've appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Good stuff there. Good stuff. One of the things that we can learn from this is how the Lord knows us even while we are still in the womb. Just like we see in Psalm 139, that while we're still being fashioned and knit together in the womb, the Lord knows us. But with Jeremiah, it's more than just the Lord knowing him. He is also called as a prophet while he is still inside his mother's womb, while he's being fashioned together. And he is consecrated, that is, separated out to be a prophet, not just to Israel, but to the nations. Now, this should give us a sense of how important it is to have respect for life while it is still inside the womb. We who live in a culture that doesn't care about the child in the womb, that is willing to abort it, and does so at a million and a half a year. What a crime. When the Lord is calling every single one of those little people, every single one of those human beings to Himself to do something special, and we eliminate them. What an awful crime. A second thing is that this man, Jeremiah, has a destiny not just for his family, not just to affect his town, not even just for his own nation, but also for the whole world, for all the nations. And that fits this period of the history of Judah, when they belong to this worldwide empire of Assyria. And so we see here how, what he says about being a prophet to all the nations. Says, Lord, woe to me. Oh, I can't speak. I'm just a kid. Don't call me Lord. I mean, I'll call you. Wait till I grow up. You know, but I'm not ready yet. I got my whole life to live. Don't make me a prophet now. He's afraid to be a prophet. This is so different from Isaiah, isn't it? Isaiah was willing to say, here I am, Hineni. Samuel was a young boy, and he said, Hineni, here I am. That he was willing to serve. And the prophet Samuel even said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Isaiah said, I'm ready to go. Do what you want with me. Not Jeremiah. And, you know, that ought to give us some courage. That a lot of times we don't want to follow God's call. We don't want to do what He asks of us. We don't want to stay faithful to the spouse He has given us. We don't want to stay faithful to the children He's given us, to the parents He's bestowed upon us. We don't want to stay faithful to our vocation as priests or sisters. We want to bolt. We say, oh, I got my life to live. Leave me alone. Don't call me to serve you, God. We can be so much like Jeremiah, and the Lord calls us anyway. And this is what the Lord says. He said, look, don't tell me I'm a child. Don't say I'm a child. I know who you are. Because to whomever I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. He said, look, I'm God. You do what I say. I know that you're a child. I know that you're, as a matter of fact, in this case, probably means a teenager. Maybe he was 18, 19, 20 years old, about the age of Josiah, as I mentioned earlier. And he says, don't tell me you're too young. I know what you got. I know who you are. What do you think, I'm stupid? I'm God. I know what's going on. You just do what I say, and you go where I send you. Now, part of Jeremiah's fright might well be something that we all can share in. Namely, perhaps we're afraid to keep listening to the Lord, to find out what He does want from us, how He does want to lead and direct and guide us. Or might be afraid of that. And he says, whatever I command, you shall speak to them. We don't necessarily want to hear God's word and say it to other people. I know a lot of times I'm afraid, I'm embarrassed that if I say God's word to somebody, that they'll reject me or be upset with me in some way. And Jeremiah might have felt the same thing exactly. The Lord said to him, don't be afraid of them. Well, I need to hear that. I need to hear that a lot. Because I get afraid to tell people. It's one thing to talk to you people out there because, really, I'm in front of a camera. And the camera's not going to bite. And even the crew around here, they don't hit me or anything like that. So it's okay over here. But when I'm with people face to face, it's a little more difficult to preach the Word of God. It's a little more tough. But the thing that the Lord says to Jeremiah and to you and to me is, don't be afraid of them. Why not? Because I am with you. To deliver you, says Yahweh. And then at that point, Yahweh put forth His hand, and He touched my mouth, just like that. He put His hand in my mouth. Just like we do when we baptize people, when we baptize little babies especially, we put our hand in their mouth so that someday they will be able to speak the word of the Lord. Just like Jeremiah was able to do. And Yahweh said to me, after He touched Jeremiah's mouth like this, He said, "See, I have put my words in your mouth. Behold, this day I have set you over the nations and over kingdoms." So Jeremiah, if you have my word which is power, my word which created the whole universe, my word which created the world and made it come into being and changes history, if you have my word in you, then I will set you over nations and over kingdoms. My word will be able to direct history, just as it already has done. To be able to root out and pull up, to take plants and pull them out of the ground, and to destroy and overthrow, but to build and to plant. That's the word that Jeremiah is given. A word that has two-thirds of problems with it. Two-thirds of rooting out and uprooting and pulling down, destroying and overthrowing. And Jeremiah will speak lots and lots of words that are judgments against Judah and the nations. But He also is to give a word of building and planting as well. After the words of judgment, Jeremiah will speak consolation to the people, foreigners and to Israelites and Judahites alike. And that kind of ministry is his. If he preaches the word of God, so is it for you and me. Sure, the word of God that we have to preach is one that calls for destruction of sin. But it's also one that calls for building up lives of righteousness. We're taking a look at the call of the prophet Jeremiah. How he was called as a young man, a late teenager, late adolescent, to be a prophet to the nations. He was called at this time even though he had been consecrated from his infancy. As a matter of fact, while he was still inside his mother's womb, he was called to be a prophet. As a matter of fact, one thing I'd like to mention as a footnote at this point is I'd like to recall this passage of the call of Jeremiah when I talk at baptisms of people, especially of infants. Because, you know, of course, when we baptize infants, they don't know what's going on, just like young baby Jeremiah did not know what it meant to be a prophet when he was still inside his mother's womb. But the Lord calls anyway, before we can understand. As a matter of fact, there's something about the Lord's call to us that even if He waited until we were 95 years old, we probably still would not understand what He had in store for us. And no matter what age it is that He calls us, as babies and infants, or as old people, old men and women, that His call will always be something beyond us, and taking us to something greater than we can ever imagine. But, as we'll also see with the life of Jeremiah, it will also be a call to lots of pain and suffering before we come to that greatness. Now, the reason for that difficulty will be the word of God will be a difficult word to preach. And people won't always like to hear it. As a matter of fact, lots of times they'll reject God's word and His messenger. But if we are faithful like Jeremiah, we'll come into God's glory as well. But enough of that. Let's take a look at Jeremiah right now and see what else he has to say at his call. He says here in verse 11, "And again, the word of Yahweh came to me," or was to me. "And it said, Jeremiah, what do you see?" Now, so he has some sort of a vision maybe, or perhaps he just saw something in everyday life that was pointed out to him, and the Lord wanted to use it as a symbol. "So I said," that is Jeremiah said, "I see the rod or the shoot of an almond tree." And I saw, now maybe he saw a real almond tree right in front of him, and that the Lord points this almond tree out to him. And Yahweh said to me, "You've seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." Now, what does that mean? Why does that fit together? That I'm watching over my word and the almond tree? Well, because it's a play on words in Hebrew. I wish there was a good play on words in English, but we have a good one in Hebrew here. Because the word for almond tree is shakev, okay? And the almond tree is the first tree to blossom in Israel. It begins to give out its blossoms in January, okay? And then Yahweh says, you have seen well because shokeith ani. So you, in other words, I am watching. The word for watching is shokeith. The word for almond tree is shakeith. So there's a pun on these two words. And he says that this almond tree is a watching tree, watching for the spring to come, and Yahweh is a watching God, watching for His word to come to pass, to bring it about and make it effective in history. Now, one of the things that this means for you and for me is that we have to know that the Lord our God is watching for His word to be fulfilled among us and in our midst. Now the next little oracle we see here is again in a little story form of with the Lord seeing a vision. And this takes place in verse 13. The word of Yahweh was to me the second time saying, what do you see? This is the second time Jeremiah prophesies. And Yahweh says, what do you see? I said, I see a blowing or seething or bubbling kind of pot. And the face of it is from the north. So here's this great big pot, and I wouldn't picture just a little, you know, saucepan. Picture a great big black cauldron, okay? You know, the kind where the witches in Macbeth are stirring with the double trouble and toil and bubble and all that stuff. Well, so also here, and there's a great big pot with some sort of a nasty stew in it. Something that's not really good. Maybe it was his mother's cooking and it was a good stew at that time, but it becomes the symbol of something evil. And it's this pot bubbling up and all this, and it's facing the north. And then Yahweh said to me, out of the north, the evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says Yahweh. And all these families shall come, and they shall everybody set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all its walls, all the way around it, and against all the cities of Judah. Now, the enemy from the north is symbolized by this boiling pot. And it almost seems as if sometimes the north country is a boiling pot bubbling over with human beings, with armies of peoples. And that these armies are all coming down from the north to Jerusalem. Now, the north is the place from which the Assyrians have come. But this is an odd thing to prophesy, because the Assyrians are no longer a threat. The Assyrians are, as a matter of fact, getting weaker. So what else could it be? Well, there's some possibilities. The Babylonians are about to be on the rise. Within another few years, very shortly as a matter of fact, the Babylonians are going to revolt against the Assyrians, and the Babylonians are going to become the great world power. And it well could be that Jeremiah is seeing this enemy from the north. Also, a Greek historian, an ancient Greek historian, said that Scythians came from what is now called Russia, the area of Crimea. And they came and they swooped down. Now, there's no record of this in the Bible, but they're supposed to have come down according to these other annals, these records of the Greeks. But at any rate, these peoples from the north will come down. And Yahweh says, I will speak my judgments against them, that is against Judah, and dealing with all their wickedness, in which they have forsaken me and offered to other gods, and worshiped the work of their own hands. Therefore, you, Jeremiah, put on your underwear, gird up your loins, and get up, and you speak to them everything that I command you. Don't be afraid of them, or else I will make you afraid. So you do what I say. Don't be afraid. I have made you, Jeremiah, a strong city against them. So preach my word and you will stand. God bless you.
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.